The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Good morning, everybody. This is Start Your Day the Trade Away, Northwest London. Dalad Tamas, Tov Shin Pei, Friday, 26th of June. My name is Rabbi Tzvi Lebovich, and I'm talking on the subject of Parshas Korach. When you talk on the phone, you have no clue how many people you're talking to. So in a certain sense, there's no stage fright. Mr. Cheney, you could imagine you're talking to hundreds of people. So whatever it is, even if I'm talking to one person, welcome. And I have an honor to be part of this Gewaldige organization that has Tmidus in Harbatzis HaTayra. And I'll be happy to share with you some thoughts on Parshas Korach. Okay, so first of all, let's start about the name of the Seder, Korach. There's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Shem Rishoyim Yirkov. So the Gemara says in Yuma the following thing. The Gemara is up to Yuma the following thing. I'll say Shem the Kivivo is Tale B'shmam. The Kivivo is Tale B'shmam. Moldiness, rottenness comes up in these names, and we should not use the names, as Rashi explains. So from Sofer points out, he says, what's going on over here? How could it be that they called their son Korach, when Korach, as we know, is one of the Alufei Esok? From Sofer says that Gewaldige Chiddush, he says, that perhaps everything that happened to Korach was the outcome of him having this name. And he says also, Pshat, Yikach Korach, what took him away from Kedusha? He was Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kostan, lady, he was such a great man. Yikach Korach. The name Korach was Goyrem, what happened to him. So that's about the name of Korach. Now let's talk a little bit, when did it take place, the story of Korach? Now, there's a machlokes to show them about this. The Eben Ezra, famously, is very, very easy to say, Emog de Mucha b'Torah. Very easy to say so. And he is of the opinion, and he has a very strong raya, that this happened in Midbar Sinai. As we know, in Parshas B'Haloitcha, which took place in Midbar Sinai, the Rebbe Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Levim, and be mekadosh them mitoch Klal Yisrael to make them different to everybody else. And Korach, and then Klal Yisrael was quite annoyed about that. Korach was very annoyed about it. Korach was a lady, but Klal Yisrael was angry about it. And Korach saw a very good mokoim to be able to create havoc. So Klal Yisrael was upset. Even as it says, Klal Yisrael was upset. He felt that Moshe Rabbeinu did it on his own accord. And just think about it, a person has a family, and he's a melech, and he gives his whole mishpacha, he gives them greatness. And then, if you want to think it just happened by chance or whatever, he thought the right thing. His family, Kohath, they're the ones, his immediate family, they're the ones to carry the oreb. And who's the Kohen Gadol? His brother. If you think of it nowadays, we have such a matter, a person do such a thing, we obviously would think that this is Nishmedas Rabbanu Shlomo, Nishmedas, your own path. So the kids of Klal Yisrael are very angry about this. The Levim, they said, okay, it's fine, says the Eben Ezra, that you know, we are chosen, Gewaldig, but why is he giving you Aharon and his children Balabatishkeit over us? Why should they be in charge of us? They weren't happy about that. And Dostum Aviram, Eben Ezra says, they weren't Levim. What was their Nekuda? They came from Shevet Reuven. And they had a big bone to pick with Moshe Rabbeinu. Reuven was a Bechoyer. And now, what happened was that Yosef took over. And Ephraim and Menashe, these two Shvatim became Shvatim, and Ephraim, you know, was more powerful. And he says, perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu favored these Shvatim, especially Ephraim, because his Shamash, Yeshua ben Nun, was from Shevet Ephraim. And then he goes on, he says that there's another time that the Bechoyrim used to have the Avodah, and Korach, he says, was a Bechoyer, and perhaps in a Siyawedu a Bechoyer. So this whole thing took place in Midbar Sinai. There's also the story of the Makosha which happened in Midbar. You know, it says, if you read the parashah of Makosha, it says, you, B'nai Yisrael, Bamidbar. Says Bamidbar, the Bamidbar Sinai. That's the shit of Evan Ezra. The Ramban says, nah, we don't say Imug the Mukha Batoira, and there's no remez in the Psukim for that, and there's not a very strong reason. But Evan Ezra actually gave a reason. The Ramban is very unhappy about that. The Ramban says, has a different approach. His approach is that Dosan Vaviram, and we're always looking for trouble. Always looking for trouble. And we know Koirach, as Chazal say, was upset about Nesius from the Tof in Benizir. And he was Mekan and Aharon. But they didn't dare to open their mouths. Because Klai Yisrael wouldn't have been Mekabel anything that they said. They were so in love with the leader Moshe Rabbeinu, there was nothing to talk about. Absolutely nothing to talk about. What happened? As time went on, things went a little bit pear-shaped. Because when we came out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was our hero. Took it out of Mitzrayim, and whenever there was any problems, Klai Yisrael got into trouble, Moshe Rabbeinu stuck up to them. The Rambam says, for example, the Chetzo Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu davened. A few thousand people died, but Mishke Fe'elach, he davened 40 days and 40 nights. The Rambam says, Hinei Oyavim Oytzei Kenafshon. They loved Moshe Rabbeinu like themselves, and they listened to him. If a person would have been murdered on Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, people would have stoned him. Therefore, Koyrach had no answer to close his mouth. He had to see Aharon becoming great, and he had to see the Bechoyrim giving over their Koyrach to the Levim, and everything Moshe Rabbeinu did, he just couldn't say anything. When it came to Midbar Paron, this is what happened now, and it was the fire of Tavero, and by Kivros HaTav, a lot of people died, and when Chet HaMeraglim happened, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really doubt that the Gezeirah should be bottled. He just pushed it off. So now it was right. You know, Baalei Machloekes could always wait for the right time. The Nesir Hoedo died in the Magefa, the Fnei Hashem, by the Meraglim. The Nesir Hoedo died in the Magefa. And the Ganzer Klal Yisrael was meant to stay in the Midbar for 14 years and they died in the Midbar. Ooh, Oz Hoya Nefesh on Moro. People were bitter. And they said, Oy Vai, we're having trouble for Moshe Rabbeinu. And Koyrach said, yeah, now off we go. And people listened to him. And you see, one of the biggest tainus was L'ham Yisenu Bamidbar. They used all these catastrophes that happened, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the cause of their destruction in the Midbar. And they said, you promised that Ezra was Chol V'Dvash, and never happened. So because according to the Ramban, this whole thing happened exactly where it's written in the Torah, in Midbar Paran, after all these problems that they had in Parshat Ba'aloitzcha, it happened. Okay, let us move on to the next part over here. I just would like to share with you an interesting thing that he was very, very crafty. The Shoinim see very crafty things over here in the Pesukim. The other Chumash is good to look into the Pasuk Aleph and Beis. It says Pasuk Aleph, Ika Choyrach, and Yitzhah ben Kostan Levi, Dosta Vidim b'nei Aliyah, v'oim ben Pelet Nehruba, v'ayikum lefnei Moshe, v'anoshim b'nei Yisrael, chamishim o'matzayim nesiyo edo, kuriyem moed anshashim. The Sifonu says a Mosheleke thing. He says, what they did was, they arranged with the 250 people to come to Moshe in the morning. We know Moshe Rabbeinu had every day, he was sit there, there was the Beis Din, Kol HaDavar HaGadol Yevi'elai, and Noshim and Bnei Yisrael were around. So they told the 250 Gedoy Le'olam to be there in the morning when Anoshim and Bnei Yisrael are around, and they're going to come and start timing. And then the Anoshim and Bnei Yisrael will say, yeah, you guys, it makes sense what you're saying. I think they're right. So it shouldn't look like the whole thing was conspired together. So he's Mesalas the Pasuk. He says, V'yikach Koyach, who did he take? The Rashi said he took Rosh Hashanah, he took the Messiah, Chamishim HaMessiah Ish. And V'yikum HaLefnei Moshe, when Anoshim HaBnei Yisrael were there already. So he takes the Pasuk and turns it around. That V'yikum HaLefnei Moshe, V'anoshim HaBnei Yisrael were there anyway. And then the Chamishim HaMessiah Ish, Ki'ilu, they came punk by chance. And then the whole thing started. Okay. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu said that he suggested we should do a ketores. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu get this from? Suddenly to do a ketores? What's the pshat from them? Actually, I just forgot one point. The Rabbeinu Chananel has a total different shit than this. If you look at the Ramban, they bring the Rabbeinu Chananel. I don't want to go into it now. He said the main akud of Rabbeinu Chananel is that this Gamsa Chavra were from Shevet Levi. But I'm not saying it can't be that Shevet Levi would go against the whole Shevet Levi against Moshe Rabbeinu, but I don't want to go into that now. Okay, let me get invited. So, Where did he get this idea of the Ketorah? Because the Etzem, Meichetei tell people the Makta Ketorah Zara. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu get this from? So again, the Rambam has a very interesting mahalach over here. First, the Rambam says it was Moshe Rabbeinu's private idea. He saw that Dosma Aviram died from the Ketoris. He saw that Dosma Aviram died from the Ketoris, and he felt that the Ketoris is going to be a very strong thing that's going to be able to sort things out. And Hoiro Asho, he passed him that we can use Ketoris. And he was confident. Mujadika words in the Rambam, he was relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let him down, and Taka it's gonna do what it needs to do. The other shitta is, it says in the other mahalach that he says, it says in before by the whole story, it says Vayipal Moshe al Ponov. Moshe Rabbeinu fell on his face. So Pashtus, Rashi says, why did he fall on his face? Pashtus and Tzah. He was so upset. Rashi says, he couldn't anymore. He fell on his face and was really, really upset about this. The Rambam says, no, he conversed with the Shechina that time. He conversed with the Shechina. And the Shechina told him he had a tzivui from the Rabbeinu Shleilam to do Ketoris. Memela, Pashtus Achivan, he had a tzivui from the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't mention it. We see Rambam says a lot of times Moshe Rabbeinu didn't mention something, was told to him privately. And then he says the third thing is that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make a decision like Rav would make a decision of Kitav Torah. He said perhaps the called Ruach HaKodesh. So let's just repeat it. Or Moshe Choshav HaMachshava Zoyis Ba'at, he thought in his own mind and was massive to do it. As a Rav, as a Sanhedrin, he marked the things that Ruach Shah. Nothing to do with the Rabbeinu Shleilam. And Moshe Rabbeinu had been talking, because Rambam Zeloshnit, because Hashem make him devar avdoi, ba'atzat malochev yashlim. And the second malach is that Moshe Rabbeinu had a tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so. And the third malach is that was Ruach HaKodesh. And it says over here, like we see Shlom HaMelech Lotem Ruach HaKodesh, it brings Raya to Azainim from Ruach HaKodesh. Let us move on. The beautiful word of Sofer Meir Shapiro. The Gemara, the Rashi says, "Kolich shepikach hoya, ma'aro l'shtuze." So Rashi says, "Einoi hitesoi." At Sofer Meir Shapiro, beautiful word. Says, "Einoi hitesoi." Inu loshin yochid. Should say, "Einov hitesoi." His eyes. Why einoi? So the Meir Shapiro looked at Moshe Rabbeinu thing. He says that the Rabbeinu Shlom created a person with two eyes. These two eyes resemble two things we have to keep our eyes on. One thing is shiflus atzmoi. We have to see our shiflus. You know, our chesroinus, a person's whole life has to keep his eye on his chesroinus to understand that he is odom shoful and he has to work and he has to try to aspire to become better. And the other eye he has to keep on gadlus haboira, to see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chesed Hashem bestows upon him, the wisdom and the bria. He has to keep his eye on these two things. If he the whole time knows that he's a shafu, he doesn't deserve anything. And look at the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can make it through this world in the right way. Koirach einoi hitesoi. This eye to see shiflas atzmoi. That thing made him, he made a mistake. He saw shasheres gedoilo. He saw Shmuel come from himself. He thought to himself, obviously we're saying this is all in proportionate. It's all with the magnifying glass of the Rabbeinu Shlom, you know, the Bavigdi Melech Shitta. All these things of Badako, but there was a mashu missing in that eye, that single eye that's meant to see Shiflas Atzmoi. And but the Vatel goes beautiful, it goes right. But Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the end of the Devarim, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, his freshness didn't go away and his eye didn't dim. Why did it say eye? Say eyes. So the Meir Shapiro Moiradik, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, he had achieved so much. He was a Shamayim. He was the only human being that took something from Yodish LaKodesh Baruch Hu. The Luchos was transferred from Hashem's hand to his hand. Pilipoloim. He split the Yamtu. He did the Makkas. He set up Klaus for generations until Mashiach came. He gave the Torah. But still that, the last day of his life, Einoi, Loikoaso Einoi, that eye to see Shiflas Atzmoi was always there. It's a beautiful word. Meir Shapiro. Lamagin writes over here. So in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Pasuk always bothered me. I found a beautiful shot. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Terapeutic Design, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says over here, let's just look a little before. Moshe told Koyrak, I'm talking Pasuk Kaka.
Call Halashon.
Moshe told Koyrak, Shimon of an Elegia, Matni Kem, Kivdel, Elekei, Throil, Eschem, Adasik, Soil. Akrev Eschem, Elo, La Avidis, Avidis, Mishkan, Hashem, the Lamed, the Fnei, Wede, the Sholson. Yakrev Uisko, Vesachecho, Beni Levi, Itcho. We cast him Gam Kuno. Lachain, after the Choladoska, and Odom Alashem, the Haran Mahu Kisalino, all of. So as she explains, Lachain means you should know that you are really arguing against Hashem, it's not against the Had. Not the Rashi explained. But I saw a beautiful thought, Arden Agvaldige thought, that the Lachain refers to something totally different. He says, how in the world do you have the audacity to argue with a Kodesh Baruch Hu? How could it be that you have such a Hazah, have a min of a Chlal, to start with a Kodesh Baruch Hu? He said, Azoy, you know why? Lachain, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu was mavgul you, now that's Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makriv you close to him. So from the kiruv Yaseyah, because he became so close, so therefore, Vayigbal Livcho, you got a gaiva in you. It says elsewhere in the Pasuk Baloscha, from the kiruv Yaseyah that Klai Yisrael had, that's what caused the whole thing, that you should do this. For Lochein, this word comes from the Be'e Basodeh. Lochein, because of this, Atav Chaladot Chanei Adim Al Hashem. It's because, not because of anything. Nothing to do with the Haran. You became too, as one says in English, hoiti-toiti. Let's move on now, weiter. We know the famous thing that Dostum Aviram said, if you pierce out, the eyes will not come up. What were they trying to say? I'd just like to share with you a Rishon that Rashbam said the Poshta thing. He said, do you think you could, in English we say, pull the wool over our eyes? You think you could pierce our eyes out, we shouldn't see what you're doing, we see what you're trying to do. So it wasn't just like a guzma. They were trying to point out that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing things in a cunning way. But when Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, he became really, really distorted. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Al-Tefen el-Nulchosam, don't turn to their mincha. But the two pshatim in Rashi, as you all know, one pshat is referring to the ketores they're going to bring. Another pshat is, it's referring to the Korban Tomit, their chelik in the Korban Tomit. The Rechaim HaKodesh says a moiridika thing. He says a peledika thing. He says, Eloch Odom Yisrael doesn't have a dover toiv. Every Yid has a dover toiv. Every Yid, Mereistach, every Yid in Klai Yisrael, and Shtoradach. He has a dover toiv. However, and this dover toiv gives them chiyus. This dover toiv gives them chiyus. And Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to ever overlook a dover toiv. Like said the Rechaim HaKodesh, a pachadika thing. That Tor Azach, the Tadik Goizel HaKodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim. A Tadik Goizel HaKodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Al Tefen El Menchosam. Please, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want you not to look at the dover toiv, their mitzvah. And he says, a Tadik has such a koyach. I once heard a Moshe Rabbeinu story of the Divrei Chaim. A Moshe Rabbeinu story from Divrei Chaim. There was in town where the Divrei Chaim lived, there was a Musa. He was Moshe Klal Yisrael. He made big, big trouble to him, terrible trouble to him. And one day, he was a very rich man. He got paid by the authorities handsomely for what he did. And he was one day walking down the road, and he bumped into a very poor Yid, extremely poor Yid. And this poor Yid had three daughters, three older daughters that he had to marry off. And he went up to him and he said, Ravid, how are you? And this kid was mamash trembling because this must have started with somebody. It was the end. Mamash was really scared. He said, don't you have three daughters? He said, I do. They're quite old, aren't they? He said, yes, they are. What do you want? He says, I suppose, why are you struggling to marry them off? I suppose because you don't have any money and, you know, you can't find a shidduch. He said, that's right. How much do you think you would need for every daughter? He said, well, if I have 30,000 per daughter, that would be really, really good. And I could move them. So this Musa said, took out a checkbook. He said, here you go. I'm going to write you now a check of 90,000. This kid says, Hezekhain, I'm sorry. I have a rov, and I have to ask my rov if I'm not going to cobble the money from you. I'm going to run around the corner. The rov doesn't live far. And if he says yes, I'll take the money. The kids had him. He ran around the corner to the Rechaim. The Rechaim told him, "Mishum oisim, don't take the money from him. Mishum ein oisim." He came back. He said, "The Rebbe said I shouldn't take the money from you." As these words left his mouth, this must have had a terrible chest pain, and he fell to the floor and he died. He had a heart attack. The whole town was busy with psh, nets in the Rechaim. But that Shabbos, the Rechaim told the Oilam, there's nothing in the world that can live if it doesn't have Kedusha in it. It has to have Kedusha. Without Kedusha, the energy, we know today everything is energy. The energy in the world is the Kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon anything. And when this Kedusha is gone, the thing collapses. Actually, just go back to the Chama Kedusha. We know sometimes it says, but one of the Tanoim Amaroim was angry with somebody. He looked at somebody and made him a Gal Shlat Tzomes. He says something that ties into that. That this Tzadik would take away from that person his mitzvah. And let's go back to this. So he said, the Rechaim. This Musa, he didn't call out Yiddish of the Torah, and with no Kedusha left, the Satan that was driving him knew he needs another mitzvah. He needs another mitzvah to keep him going. And that's why he wanted to give you the tzedakah. If you would take it from him, you would carry on. The fact you didn't give him, he was finished, he was emptied. And as I just said, the Gemara says, your vein of Osa Gal Shalat Tzomes, the Tzadik took away the bit of tzitzkis that he had, the bit of mitzvahs, and there was nothing left to give him a chiyus. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Al Teisan El Min Chosam. Let us go a little bit weiter, and we're going to just point out a very interesting pasuk over here. It says in pasuk Tes Zayin. It says again, repeats the whole thing. Vayim b'moyshe al koydach ato v'chaladotcho heyi lefnei Hashem ato v'heim b'harem mocha. You'll notice that this it says already before. Chuyish machtosiv v'nasata malayim. Ketoyed pasuk Tes Zayin, Yud Zayin, l'choydach, it's repetitious from before. So the Rambam says that Klai Yisrael weren't very happy about this whole idea of Ketoyres. If you look carefully, in the beginning of the Seder, it doesn't say that Aharon is going to join them. 250 people, you take your Ketoyres and come to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It said in the beginning. Go back. Zeisatsu, kuchulakam, machtet, koydach v'chol adotso. Shnu ba'am eish, v'simu aleim Ketoyres, v'pozg v'ovan zayin. It doesn't say anything about Aharon. So Klai Yisrael said, if Aharon's not going to be there, it's not a good contest. You're going to Taina, Aharon proved himself already righteous by Shmini Limeluyim. The fire came down. And we're going to have to prove ourselves righteous now. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, if we would have been by Shmini Limeluyim, perhaps fire would come down to us now as well. And if Aharon would be here today, perhaps fire wouldn't come down to him either. So therefore, they weren't happy with it. So Moshe Rabbeinu now changed the game, and he said, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, you were the Haran as well. And another Nakuda that Moshe Rabbeinu took out Dostum Aviram because he wanted to keep Dostum Aviram to be swallowed up in the ground. As long again, I said, we're running out of time. I want to try to finish a few very important points. There is a very interesting posuk when it comes to being swallowed up in the ground. The state in Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Oh, pasuk chavtes. Im kemoiz kol adam yimusun ile, kudat kol adam yipokid aleihem lo yashem shlachani. Im brio yivro Hashem ufot tzoho adomo aspio ubolo oisam veskol ashalahem. Places Yomtev on the Mishnah in Ovis, which speaks about Piho Arev, asked a number of questions. One question he asks is, why this Loshna Potso Ha'adomas Piho is not used when it actually happened? Later on it says, Batista Horas as Piho Vativla Oisam. So why is this Loshen from Pot to Adama's Pio used in the beginning and not the same one later? Another thing he asked, Moshe Rabbeinu was doubtful. It says, Im Brio Yivro Hashem, so Chazal tell us, if there's already a Pil Oret, Givaldi, and if not, let Hashem create a Pil Oret. If the Mishnah says that it was created, Erev Shabbos was created, Pi Ha'aret. All these things are Kabbalah, Ishim Pi Ishim to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if we know there was a Pi Ha'aret, why did Moshe Rabbeinu know that? Third thing he says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say something that he can't verify? It says, V'yodu Chaim Sho'ilo. Sho'ilo means Gehenna, Shit the Rishonim. How could you prove they went straight down to Gehenna? They maybe just swallowed up in the earth, perhaps the Neshama went to Gehenna. But how do you know that a direct flight or a direct journey to Gehenna? Why would he say something? He's trying to be not crystal clear and to make sure everything is clear and authentic. So how in the world could you be confident that people accept it? So he's Mechadish and Moshe Gechidish. And he says that Avad Moshe Rabbeinu knew there was a P-H-R-S. He knew that. But he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want something else. I want a voice to come out of the ground when these people are swallowed up and declaring that these people are going down to Gehenna. Perhaps the voice was, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to Gehenna. Enjoy your flight. I'm not sure what the voice was. And Dosef shouted, Potato Adoma's Pio. The earth should open its mouth and declare that you're going down Chaim Sho'ilo. And he says, now it's Miyashav all the kashas. The earth said it clearly. That's why it says the potato. And this was the thing that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure was already created from Sheish Mehidreshes. And he said, if there isn't this facility, please could I have that facility installed? And behold, it was. Now, we know that the earth was cursed by the Rabbeinu Shloilam when it swallowed the blood of Hevel. And I saw that the Chaim HaKadosh says that this was a tikkun. This was a tikkun for the earth. Until this point, the earth couldn't say Shira. Its mouth was closed. Because it swallowed the blood of Hevel. But now there was a tikkun to this inyan. I'm going to finish over here. Just with one last thing. I would like to go through the Gemara. You know, the machlokes of Korach was minam nivloim or minam nisrofim. Perhaps he was swallowed up and he was burnt. Burnt first, then swallowed up. Rashi says afterwards burnt, his body rolled into the hole. Some machlokes say that he was put on fire and he was rolling as he was burning and he was swallowed up. The other mandam of the Gemara Sanhedrin of Kufiut says no, that Korach was not minam nivloim and not minam nisrofim. What's pshat from this? I'm not going to go through the psukim. The drashas will take some time to explain. We'll also learn it out of the yukim from the psukim and the gemara. But what's the reason that Moshe Koyrach should get away from not being swallowed and not being burnt? I have to mention what did happen to him. He died in a magefa. He died in a magefa. Some say he died the same day. Some say he died the next day. When Eden complained against this whole thing, they said, after Amitim and Sam Hashem, but the magefa, Koyrach died there. So why didn't he die straight away? So some say Moshe the good thing that Korach, well, he had good reasons. He saw Shoshalos Gedoyla. He had that with a bit more Lashem Shemayim, maybe a backup to the Rizal that Korach Batsim was a big person. But some say it's a Moshe the good thing on the totally other end of the spectrum. It's a Moshe the good thing. He says Korach was developing a rich man and he had all this power. He had Klal Yisrael after him. The Rebbeinu Shloim wanted him to learn a lesson. And the day everything went moldy, his 250 people were burnt to ash. So he was standing there with his machta. All of his men were burnt. And then all of his nechosim, his wife, his nechosim, his avodim shvachim, everything was followed up. He was a rich man until that point. He was one of the richest people, was the richest person in Klal Yisrael. All of the nechosim was followed up. He was left with nothing. He was left with absolutely nothing. All of his people were gone. His chosim was gone, and he was dragging around the machna. According to the shit, he was dragging around for the next day, 24 hours or 12 hours. He was dragging around, mamash a loser. Chumsevet says, "Ein lecho inish gadol mizeh, ein lecho inish gadol mizeh." And then he died from magefa. So I would like to finish off. He said that it was a good thing. In the end, we have the parsha of Matash Laharim. Matash Laharim grew and blossomed, and it was a proof. But the Haran, the Shevet, is the Shevet that is chosen, and the Haran himself is chosen. The Haran himself is chosen for this Givaldiga thing. Let's tell you a very nice, and that Kais was Makabal then, and that from then on it was a Tikkun. There's a Mechalikas, just a Mechalikas showing how many sticks were put in there. was, if you look in the Pesukim, you'll see perhaps it was 12 sticks, including a Harim, or could be that a Harim, as we know, we count 12 Shvatim without Shevet Levi, could be a Harim stick with a 13th stick. You should all have a good Shabbos. Thank you for listening. I hope that I've said something new, that was a solution to you, and perhaps I'll have a course again to be able to give a shiur. Kol Tov, good Shabbos to everybody. Kol Tov.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.